Shall I throw you out to the lighthouse? Then you'll have to swim back.
No.
All right, then. Out to those rocks, eh? That's not so far. Whee!
No, Daddy. No, Daddy. No, Daddy. No, Daddy.
We present Kenneth Haig in Ripples by Maggie Allen.
You realize she had been in the sea for some time.
I've seen dead bodies all over the world, Sergeant.
But,
let's get it over with.
Arthur, not here?
A day off. Can I help you?
D.S. Luscombe, coroner's officer. This is Mr. Martin, father of Suzanne Martin.
Oh, yes. This way.
Ready?
Yes.
Is this your daughter, sir?
It looks like her. It's just... her hair's different.
Are there any identifying marks you can remember?
She had a discoloration on her right forearm. A strawberry mark. Yes, that's it.
On the third finger of that hand, you can see a lighter mark where a ring...
Yeah, her mother's wedding ring. I gave it to Suzanne after she died. She wore it on a chain around her neck at first. And when she was old enough, on her right hand.
So, will you identify...
This is my daughter, Suzanne Martin.
Thank you, sir.
She was wearing a ring when she was found. It's in my charge, along with her other effects, if you'd like to...
Is there a gent nearby?
Just there, sir. Mr. Connolly...
Is this the ring?
Ellen J. 16662. Forever.
Yes. When did your wife die, Mr. Martin?
You must be 15. No, 16 years ago.
Told Suzanne, but only of being...
11.
Was it sudden?
Yes. Well, she had been suffering from a long-term illness, a muscle-wasting disease, but when she went, it was sudden, yes.
And Suzanne was close to her mother?
They got along okay. She was pretty cut up when Janet died. It didn't help that her father had disappeared off the face of the earth. I was investigating illegal arms shipments and keeping a low profile in Libya. No calls in or out. So I didn't find out about Janet till I got back a couple of weeks later. Great, eh? A family tragedy and the head of the family missing. I hadn't been there for my wife and I wasn't there for my children.
You can't blame yourself for Suzanne's death.
Why not? It was my duty to protect her.
We can't live our lives for them.
Oh, please. Forgive me, Sergeant, but you don't know the circumstances.
How do you think you could have prevented it?
Don't you think I haven't been asking myself that over and over for the past 48 hours?
The post-mortem found evidence of cocaine in her bloodstream, in addition to the alcohol. There are also traces of the drug in her handbag.
Oh, my God.
A question I have to ask. Did she have a history of mental illness?
Not as far as I know.
Was there any in the family?
No.
We tried to get hold of your son.
How did you know about him?
Suzanne's former flatmate, Helena Richardson. You don't know Miss Richardson?
As I said, my daughter and I have lost touch. In fact, how did you find me?
Her handbag was found about 6 miles along the coast. It was in a quiet part of the beach under an overhanging cliff, so it was fairly dry and had not been tampered with, as far as we can tell. And there was a little more than £40 in the wallet. And there was also an organ donor card. On it, she had nominated you as the one to be contacted in the event of her death.
And it mentioned my telephone number?
Here.
We only moved to Vancouver a few months ago. How could she have got hold of it?
We found a telephone number for a Stephen in the back of her diary alongside Helena. I got a recorded message and I left one, asking whoever it was to ring me, if it's the right Stephen, of course.
He's an airline steward, probably on a long-haul flight.
And which airline?
I'm not sure. He moved around a bit.
You lost touch with him as well?
The umbilical was cut when he was born, Sergeant. He's a grown man. He leads his own life. We didn't see much of each other after I moved to Canada. But we were not estranged.
So you will be able to confirm that this is his most recent telephone number?
No. Sorry. May I see the diary?
There's nothing much in it. She didn't seem to use it regularly.
She must have had a filofax somewhere. Remind me of the date you think she drowned.
Around the 4th or 5th.
On the 3rd, the Friday. It says here, 4:15. That sounds as if she was preparing for something special. And on the 4th, 10 and a query. It's at the top of the day's section, so that suggests a.m.
Maybe that's when she was planning to leave to come here.
Or be picked up. From where?
No one knows.
Didn't this Helena have a forwarding address?
Apparently she and Suzanne had had a row and your daughter walked out.
What was the newspaper she was working for?
The last address they had was in Earl's Court, where she lived until she went to stay with Miss Richardson in Notting Hill Gate.
And the NUJ?
Again, the Earl's Court address. Likewise, the DSS and Inland Revenue.
So, the first priority is to find out where she's been living latterly.
I've tried.
I'll do it.
It's a question of time.
I'll make time.
Your daughter's passport.
I wonder why she was carrying that.
Perhaps she was making for one of the ferries.
May I?
Certainly.
This is how I remember her.
It's due for renewal. Almost 10 years old.
Yes.
She got about a bit.
She was a journalist. We do tend to get about a bit.
Ah, but you were in the big league, weren't you? She wasn't.
I was an investigative journalist, as I believe she was. So, of course, she moved around.
She seemed to choose the choicest spots for her investigations, then. Have a look. During the past year, Morocco, Switzerland, Bahamas.
So what?
Did she have a private income, a trust fund or something?
No.
Apparently, she had not been getting much work over the last year. Short-term contracts, a few odd features, nothing to justify these as business trips. See how many she's taken?
What are you suggesting? Something criminal?
I've no idea. It just seems strange to me that a young woman should be able to afford all these trips to expensive resorts when she'd been frequently unemployed. There could be a number of answers to that, including fraud. Or someone could have paid for her to go.
Good for her.
And she took drugs.
Are you saying someone else might have been involved in her death?
I'm saying I don't know.
The bruising.
As I told you, in a case of sudden death, it is usually one of two causes, accident or suicide.
There was heavy bruising on her face and body.
It's a rocky coast, sir, and submerged wrecks.
I'd like to see the post-mortem report.
The pathologist didn't find anything suspicious.
I'd like to see it.
I'll get you a copy.
And I'd like to know what in-depth investigations have been carried out.
In-depth investigation was not considered necessary, sir.
So you just draw your own conclusions, do you? Young woman, bit of a gadabout, drug addict, bound to come to a bad end.
It was my superior's decision, not mine. We're short on manpower.
You spoke to Helena Richardson. What did she tell you?
She said Suzanne had only been staying with her a few weeks. She took her in after Suzanne had had a disappointment in her love affair. That she was upset because she'd not got her contract renewed on the newspaper.
Which paper?
The Correspondent.
What did you find out there?
Much. She left it months ago.
When's the inquest fixed for?
Friday.
What? It's only a few days.
We thought you'd want it as soon as possible so you could arrange the funeral while you're down over here.
I'm sorry, Sergeant, but I don't consider the matter as cut and dried as you seem to. I want to find out more about the events leading up to my daughter's death. By the time I get back up to London...
It could be postponed.
Then postpone it.
I'm only a humble DS. But you can apply to the senior officer here.
Who is?
Chief Superintendent Brigstock.
Where can I find him?
Oh, he'll have left by now.
Surely there's someone in authority who doesn't work off his hours.
No one who could make this sort of decision.
Ugh.
You're not planning on driving back to London tonight, I hope.
I don't think I could.
Why don't you leave your car in the yard and I'll take you to a hotel. You can pick it up in the morning.
I need to see the place where Suzanne was found.
First thing, I promise. Now, if you'll give me a minute to check this property back in...
Can't I have it?
Not until after the inquest.
I'd just like another look at the passport and the diary.
I tell you what. Why don't you wait here and... I'll go up and see when the chief super's got a free moment tomorrow.
There's no need, I'll...
As long as you don't mind keeping an eye on your daughter's effects.
Oh. Yes, of course.
I shan't be long. 10 minutes.
Right. Passport first, I think. Oh, Suze. My pretty little Suze. There's always a wind here, even in high summer.
You know this part of Dorset well, then?
Well, we used to come here every year when the kids were small. That was all they wanted. Sea, sun, and sand. Janet, my wife, she didn't travel well. We didn't go abroad for holidays.
That could have been why Suzanne came. Nostalgia.
Rather than drug smuggling.
Sounds more likely to me.
Returning to scenes of a happy childhood. Didn't last long for her, did they? Shattered by the time she was 11. It explains why, but not how.
How what?
She got here. 120, 30 miles, no train or bus tickets, and no car keys, as far as I could see.
She could have had them in her pocket and they washed away, or she could have hitched.
She was hardly dressed for it. It's only April, but no topcoat. Someone brought her. And left her. Is this it?
Just about.
Had she been here long?
We don't know exactly. There'd been heavy rain, so no one would have been likely to be strolling along here and notice her.
Except a dedicated jogger.
A man discovered her soon after 8 in the morning. He said she wasn't there the previous evening when he went by.
And how long had she been dead?
About a week. She was found on Saturday morning. It could have happened any time the previous weekend, the pathologist reckons.
That would seem to make sense of the theory that she'd come down here with someone.
On a pleasure trip, a weekend away.
So why didn't whoever came with her save her?
From what?
Whatever happened to her?
There aren't many cliffs in the area where her handbag was found. No piers, nothing to fall off into the sea.
You said her handbag was found underneath a cliff.
Not a high cliff, more of a dune.
So how could it have been accidental?
Well, after a combination of drugs and alcohol.
And why didn't her companion or companions raise the alarm?
Perhaps she wandered off on her own.
Where was her handbag found?
About 6 miles along the coast. Dunscombe Bay.
Don't let me go, Daddy. I'll sink.
You won't sink. Trust me.
I will. I will. I will.
Dunscombe Bay. That was our favorite beach.
The beach itself hasn't changed, but just past the name sign there's a filling station, a cafe now. It was a cafe owner who found the bag when she was walking her dog.
And nobody remembers seeing Suzanne.
Nobody came forward.
What sort of publicity did you give it?
Local papers, TV, radio?
Only local.
The Nationals wouldn't be interested in a drowning case unless there was something special about it. I'm sorry.
Forget it. I should know that better than most.
Well, I must get back.
Okay. I'll see you at 4 o'clock.
Yes.
It's Mrs. Proudfoot.
What?
The cafe owner.
It's slippery after the rain.
These shoes aren't exactly ideal to walk along the beach.
You'll be all right when we get to the sand.
So, when will you open up for the season?
The first May bank holiday. Yeah, that's better. Where's your stick? Find your stick. That's it, clever boy. Yeah, used to be Easter, but it's not really worth it these days when so many people go abroad. You're lucky you caught me. I only called in to see what was needed in the way of repairs.
You must live nearby to have been walking your dog here that day.
About half a mile inland. I come here every day, morning and evenings, without fail. Give Max a run. He'll have three today. Keeps me fit, too, especially out of season.
Was it Max who found the bag?
Oh, I doubt if I would have. It was in amongst some old dry seaweed. Just there.
Does he often find things on the beach?
Oh, he's always bringing me rubbish, but nothing like that. It was a lovely bag. Italian, I saw by the label. Oh, I opened it to see if there was any identification.
Oh, of course.
Couldn't understand it. It was perfectly dry and in good condition, so it weren't flotsam. Lost off some ship or yacht, like most things we find. And a woman would never go anywhere without her handbag. Wouldn't just leave it behind like that.
So you thought...
Oh, I don't like thinking it.
That its owner had committed suicide.
Yes. Except for the shoes.
What shoes?
Her shoes. If she was careful enough to leave her bag, why didn't she leave her shoes? Well, she'd probably taken them off to walk as far as this anyway, over the shale back there. Especially if they were high-heeled.
They might not have been.
Oh, that was an expensive bag, Mr. Martin. And that sort you wear with a smart outfit. Even if the shoes didn't have high-heels. They still wouldn't be suitable for wearing down here.
So what's your theory?
Theory? Oh, I'm not a detective.
Well, that was a pretty good piece of logic.
Oh, female logic. It takes a woman to get inside a woman's mind.
I suppose it does. Did you tell the police what you told me?
Oh, I didn't think of it at the time. It just came to me later. Does it help?
It seems to point away from suicide.
Oh, yes, I can understand you wouldn't want to think that...
All I want is to find out the truth.
I'm sure.
But why should she have come here?
It's a bit chilly for courting.
Can you think of any other reason?
As I say, I'm not a detective. Unless someone took the bag from her somewhere else and threw it away here.
They didn't take anything. There was plenty of money still in her wallet.
Oh, there's things other than money people might want to pinch.
Oh, I think you're wrong, Mrs. Proudfoot.
You did ask.
I think you make a very good detective.
Mr. Brigstock will see you in 10 minutes.
Why didn't you tell me about this? Evidence of a recently terminated pregnancy.
I thought you'd taken enough.
It would have strengthened your suicide theory, at least on face value it might seem to.
There's more to life than theories. I'm not trying to prove anything.
Good, because I think I might be able to prove you wrong.
I'll give you my personal number.
In case I need your invaluable help?
You never know. I want to find out the reason why Suzanne died as much as you do.
As much as I do? I'm a father, for Christ's sake. How could you want to find out as much as I do?
Because she deserves it.
Yes. She does.
Hello, Marion. It's 2200 hours and I'm back in London. I guess you're out to lunch. They put the inquest back to Monday, and I've decided to stay till then. It appears there's more to Suzanne's death than a mixed-up kid ending at all. I've talked to Mac. There's no problem. He's perfectly capable of running the paper without me. If I'm out of the hotel, I'll ring in regularly, and I've got my own personal fax here, so no problems. My priority now is to contact Stephen. I know you kept in touch with him, and he must have kept in touch with Suzanne because she had our current phone number. Is his still 081-995-1292? And do you know which airline he's with now? Apparently he left BA some time back. Ring whenever you like. Don't worry about waking me. Good night, and God bless.
God bless, Mummy. God bless, Daddy. God bless Stephen. Make me a good girl. Amen.
Sorry to have kept you waiting, Mr. Martin, but Jake's been in editorial...
Editorial conference, yes, I know.
Oh, Mr. Martin, come in. A coffee?
No, thanks.
I'll have one, Gail, and no calls, OK? Well, let's sit over here.
This is all rather different from the London newspaper offices I knew and loved.
You were the Observer, weren't you? Well, this job, features editor.
Eventually, yes. Why? Were you on it?
5 years.
Did we meet?
Unfortunately not. He left the paper soon after I arrived to go to Toronto. Suzanne was very proud of you, you know.
Was she?
Oh, yes. She kept me up to date with your career.
Really?
Now, you sound surprised. You must know you were her role model. She was always wanting to do investigative pieces to follow in Dad's footsteps.
After I moved to Canada, we rather lost touch.
I still can't believe it.
Neither could I. Until I actually saw Suzanne.
How did you deal with it?
I threw up.
Do the police have any theories?
Yes, which is why I want to carry out my own investigation.
What do you think happened?
They think it was an accident or suicide.
Have you any reason to think it couldn't have been?
I don't know, and neither do they. But I have a stronger motivation to find out.
Well, I'll help in any way I can, but I haven't seen much of Suzanne for a few months. Oh, thanks, Pierre.
I presume she would have been working on either news or features, and when I didn't get any joy from the news desk...
Suzanne first came to my notice when she sent in a piece on spec. It was sparky. I bought it and commissioned another. She had a good track record. Subbing on women's mags, then writing celebrity interviews, some Sunday supplement features. Day in the life of, that sort of stuff. So I took her on as an in-house writer on contract.
When was this?
First time? Oh, about a year ago. I wanted to renew it after 3 months, but she wanted to go freelance again. She came back around October, and I gave her another contract. She left in January, Anne.
To go where?
I'm not sure.
Was there a problem?
I think maybe in her private life.
Which affected her work?
Unfortunately, yes.
How?
Bad timekeeping. Not turning up at all sometimes. Not attending functions she should have.
Did you discover why this was happening?
I talked to her. So did Janie Southern.
That's a name from the past.
Yeah. She's still good. Officially retired now, but she does some subbing for us from time to time. Turns in sharper copy than most people half her age.
Did she work with Suzanne?
Took her under her wing when she first arrived. Showed her the ropes. I suspect edited her work.
And what did you find out?
Suzanne seemed to become involved with what one might call an undesirable crowd. I don't know the details. But her lifestyle seemed to involve late nights, overindulgence in anything that might poison the system.
The journalist's existence, in fact.
Their poison generally taking the form of alcohol, but not enough to prevent them working, on the whole.
Come on.
Oh, no, times have changed. The days of the 3-hour lunches are long gone.
You implied that her poison wasn't alcohol.
I'm not a doctor. All I know is that she was unfit to do the work I asked of her, and after repeated warnings, I had to let her go.
Without trying to sort her out?
But that wasn't my responsibility. There were those closer to her, friends, family. I gave her more chances than some might have. And anyone who did try to help her got little thanks for their trouble.
Janie?
Yeah, for one.
And when did all this start?
During her second stint with us. She didn't seem the same girl after the summer break. It really got bad about Christmas.
These are details of immigration stamps I took from Suzanne's passport.
Mm-hmm.
Would you know anything about these trips?
No, the dates don't coincide with when she was working for us.
Some do.
Oh, whatever, they wouldn't have been assignments, if that's what you mean.
Oh, I had nothing specific in mind.
I can only speak for the work she did for me.
No investigative pieces that might have involved travel?
She didn't do any. Not for us, anyway.
I thought you said...
I said she always wanted to do that sort of thing, not that she did. For one thing, they would mainly be handled by the news desk. For another, they... they weren't her thing. She didn't have the application.
I just wondered if she might have been working on something she couldn't handle.
Like what?
Anything that those involved didn't want investigated. Did I say something funny?
I'm sorry, it's just that I couldn't imagine Suzanne getting involved with anything sinister.
I should feel reassured by that.
Sorry to interrupt, Jake, but Mr. Mackay needs to talk to you urgently.
Yeah, tell him 5 minutes.
It's all right, I'm just going. Is Janie about?
Well, she's not subbing for us at the moment, so she only comes in if she's writing a piece. Says she works better in the atmosphere she's used to.
When are you expecting her in?
Early next week, probably.
So how can I get hold of her?
Oh, I'll give you a number. She lives in Hampshire now. A lovely spot. The Meon Valley. Moved there when Charlie retired.
Is he still going strong?
Sadly not. Popped his clogs a couple of years back.
He looked after me when I got my first job on the old Sunday Pictorial.
Ah, history repeating itself, then. There you are.
Thanks. Anyone else you can suggest I talk to?
Oh, not really. People move around so much these days.
Anyone she might have met in the course of her work?
I wouldn't know.
Oh. Thanks for your help.
Wish I could have done more. Once again, I'm really sorry about Suzanne. She was a lovely girl.
Please, Jake.
There's a queue of young hopefuls waiting to do society pieces, Susie.
But I bet they don't have such good contacts as me. I've got a friend who goes to Diana's tennis club, and her brother rides with the same hunts as Charlie.
But it's not just royals we're interested in. You need to mix with the people who are in influential circles.
I do.
I'm talking international finance, politics.
I'll work on it.
Well, I could perhaps help with an introduction or two.
You'll never regret it.
All right, then. If you get me some exclusives before the diary gets wind of them.
Of course.
Yeah, no double dealing with Clive.
Would I?
And we skip dessert.
Okay.
It's me again.
Oh, hello.
I must make a rather urgent phone call, but the public call boxes are all busy. I wonder if I could possibly...
Certainly.
It's a local call.
Help yourself. I was sorry to hear about Suzanne.
Thank you. I hope that's Helena Richardson. This is Leonard Martin, Suzanne's father. Could you please ring me? I'm staying at the Four Seasons Hotel. It's now just before 1 o'clock. I'll be back there by about 3. Thanks. Thank you.
Welcome.
Gail. It was Gail.
Yes.
Did you get to know Suzanne when she was here?
Not well. But we used to have a chat when she was waiting to see Jake. She was very friendly. Unlike most of them here.
Was she particularly friendly with anyone?
I used to see her with one of the girls in the diary.
Oh.
Down the corridor, second on the left. They've probably all gone to lunch now, but you might be lucky. Her name's Claire.
Oh, thanks a lot. I'm grateful.
Gail.
Coming. The trouble with Suzanne was, she was too trusting. She believed everything anybody promised her.
Who do you mean?
Gail.
Sorry.
But I've given you some great stories.
We rarely had them to ourselves, and now that you've lost your contact...
What?
And you broke your promise about double-dealing with a diary.
I only gave Clive what you didn't want.
Including yourself.
He doesn't need to blackmail women into bed.
Watch it. You could make a lot of trouble for yourself.
But more won't make much difference.
You think yourself lucky I'm keeping you on, but if you don't shape up, you'll be out on your arse.
Right, boss. Yes, boss. Who do you want me to sleep with next, boss?
Right, that's it. Clear your desk.
I've got a contract.
It hasn't got long to run. I can bear the expense.
Bastard!
Don't slam the door after you.
Yeah, okay. Any chance of a pick of them together? Well, you'd be generous. If you can bike it over by 5, great.
Claire?
Yeah?
I'm Leonard Martin, Suzanne's father.
Oh, right. Suzanne used to talk about you a lot.
Did she?
Always on about what a great lifestyle you had in Canada.
Really?
I thought when she left here, she might have been going to take you up on your offer.
Which offer was that?
Running the diary page on your newspaper.
Oh.
If you don't mind my saying so, Dorset doesn't sound very Suzanne.
No.
After all her jet setting.
She did like to get around.
You can say that again. Last summer, she was phoning in, offering pieces from everywhere that was anywhere.
Did she go there for you?
No, she was freelancing.
And did Clive take her pieces?
Well, he did at the beginning.
And then?
I don't know if I should say.
Please, I want to know.
Another paper was getting the same stories at the same time, then before us.
Which paper?
The Tribune.
Are you saying she was selling the same story to both papers?
It seemed like it. And then Clive's spies discovered it was Michael Laszlo.
Who's he?
He works for the Trib. The hottest gossip writer around.
I don't follow.
Suzanne was going out with him. She was travelling with him to wherever the glitterati happened to be at the time and filing his stories with us.
You mean stealing them?
Well, let's say she would hear about something at the same time as him.
How come she was travelling with him? Was she working for him?
You better ask him that.
You seem to know all about it.
It's pretty obvious. Last summer, one of our guys was covering a charity gala in Monaco and said she and Laszlo were staying in the same hotel together. And later, she was with him in the West Indies.
I see.
Sorry.
She was a grown woman. I'm not shocked.
I shouldn't have repeated gossip.
Then you're in the wrong business. Tell me something. Did you like Suzanne?
Well, that's a strange question to ask.
It's pretty straightforward.
I didn't dislike her.
What?
She was always trying to please everybody. I think part of her problem was that she wanted people to like her and she'd do anything to make sure they did.
And did they?
Some did. Not always for the right reasons.
You said part of her problem.
Why don't you ask someone who knew her better?
Nobody seems to want to talk to me.
I'm sorry. Can you hold, please?
Ah, yes. Gossip awaits.
Must be frustrating for you only hearing it secondhand, not getting any of the fun.
Well, I get some of the fun, if not a lot of the credit. It's not the most important thing in my life.
Good. Make sure you keep it that way.
Are you planning to see Laszlo?
Probably.
Please don't mention my name. He's not the sort of guy you want to be on the wrong side of.
So, you're saying Mr. Laszlo's completely incommunicado? Oh, dear, think of what he might be missing. All right, Helena. One more try.
Hi. Sorry I can't speak to you at the moment, but I'll call you back.
Not half as bloody sorry as I am. Right. Stephen.
Sorry, neither of us is able to speak to you in person, but please leave a message. We'd hate to miss you.
So, you're still around. Yeah.
Orwell missed out. He didn't manage to foresee that by 1993 only recorded voices would be heard at the end of telephone lines. Thanks for the facts. You were right as usual. I did need my sleep, and it was the best night I had since Saturday. Anyway, don't worry about not knowing which airline Stephen's with. I rang that phone number again and think the voice on the tape is that of his little pal he brought to Toronto, so I probably found him anyway. And yes, I'll be gentle with him when I tell him about Suzanne. I feel so damn frustrated. I don't seem to be getting anywhere. I either can't get to talk to people, or when I do, they're not keen to help. I've wasted hours waiting around to talk to Suzanne's ex-boss, then all he did was to blame her for everything. But he gave me more than he realized, in fact. And I also got a couple of leads from people she worked with. Tomorrow, I'm going out of town to meet up with another one of them. Now, let's make a date. Let's see, it'll be Thursday, which means you have the morning off, so I'll phone you 10 a.m. your time. That's 7 p.m. here. I'll easily be back by then. Hopefully, there'll be more to tell you. It'll be good to hear your voice. This is perfect. It's no wonder you don't go up to London unless you have to.
And I do have to get my fix. You can stand just so much of rural bliss.
I'll bet Charlie loved it.
Oh, he adored it. He planned and laid out the garden and the orchard. I helped, mainly undoing the good he'd done. But it was fun.
Did you have any children?
Oh, it was a bit late for us by the time we got together. I wouldn't like to have had at least one child. Or maybe that's what drew me to Suzanne. How's your coffee?
Best I've had since I arrived over here.
Let me top you up.
Tell me about Suzanne. Was she any good?
Of course she was, being her father's daughter. As soon as she told me about the connection, I was naturally interested.
She seems to have told a lot of people.
Oh, everybody. She was most upset if they hadn't heard of you.
Which most of them wouldn't have.
Well, nobody under 30. Hmm. She had a great flair for picking up the house style. And she was quick, had a nice light touch.
You've no idea how pleased I am to hear you say that.
Why?
So far, I haven't heard anything very flattering. Certainly not affectionate.
Well, that's because I had nothing to fear from her.
Fear?
You know as well as I do the competition that exists between journalists. Jealousies, fear of rejection, favoritism. And if one of their rivals happens to be beautiful, too...
Suzanne?
How long was it since you'd seen her?
About 10 years.
What?
She couldn't accept my marriage to Marion. We both tried, but Suzanne wouldn't come near. I occasionally managed to take her out to lunch on my own. Then, when we moved to Canada, she wrote us both off.
Oh, Leonard, how sad. Well, I had no idea she talked about you as if you were in constant touch.
I could never understand it. If you knew Marion, you'd know what I'm saying is true. She's the kindest, funniest, most loving person you could meet. Why should anyone dislike her?
You've just answered your own question. How could Suzanne compete with such a paragon?
Why should she want to compete?
Oh, all right. A touch of psychotherapy from my agony aunt days. Do you think it was standard?
I don't think I'm going to like it.
Daughters see their mothers as competitors for their father's affections. How old was Susie when your first wife died?
10. Oh, almost 11.
That's a vulnerable age. After that, she would have seen herself as her mother's replacement.
That might explain the wedding ring. She would never be parted from it. I thought it was to be close to her mother.
I'd rather think it was to be married to you.
Come on.
So, when you found someone to take your wife's place and hers, naturally she'd resent her and feel rejected by you.
It was all my fault.
No, of course it wasn't. It was just a combination of circumstances. Miss Suzanne had no mother to turn to.
which could explain why she opened up to you.
Oh, perhaps. She certainly needed to talk to somebody, especially latterly.
When she got into trouble with the correspondent.
Mm. And the problems that brought it about.
Which were?
Is it too early for something a touch stronger?
Do you think I'm going to need it?
I think we both might.
I've told him nothing, but he's bound to find out. I thought I'd better warn you. Been asking a lot of questions around here. Just use your minions to keep him off your tail. I'll do what I can this end.
Oh, she was having the time of her life. Laszlo took her everywhere. The entire summer season. Ascot, Tenley, cows. She met everybody who wasn't worth knowing, but provided good copy. New money, old money, movie stars.
But why would he have been willing to share the stories with her?
At the beginning, she only produced what everybody else did. He wouldn't give her the inside stories. But then, she started to catch on and pursued the contact she'd made herself. And he didn't like that.
So he dropped her?
Not completely. After she came back to the correspondent, she'd still received the occasional tempting invitation.
That wouldn't account for the habitual bad timekeeping and absences, would it?
Well, I wouldn't have said so.
Her boss suggested she'd got in with a bad crowd.
Oh, that's rich, coming from Jake.
Oh? He put himself across as a pillar of respectability.
He set his own granny to find favour with Mackay. He's been on the skids for a while and Clive's tipped to take over from him.
You say he introduced Suzanne to Laszlo. Well, it's a bit strange, isn't it, when Laszlo works for a rival paper?
Laszlo's got a talent for nosing out gossip before anyone else. And he also has a weakness for nubile young women. So I should imagine Jake planted one in the Laszlo camp in the hope of getting the stories before Clive nabbed them for the diary.
My poor Susie was being used by both of the bastards, Jake and Laszlo.
Now, I don't know any details.
Like who was the father of her aborted baby?
Oh, my God. When did this happen?
Sometime in the last few months.
I hadn't seen her since Christmas.
Oh, well, that's odd. I thought she spent a couple of days with you about a month ago.
No.
In her diary, she only used initials, but when I saw a line through those days and a J beside it...
No, no. After Christmas, I think she was too embarrassed to get in touch.
Why?
I invited her down to spend it with me because, oh, the poor love was at a loose end. Laszlo had his own plans, which didn't include her. Her flatmates were away and she had nowhere to go. She said she tried to contact you, but she couldn't get any reply when she phoned.
We were in the process of moving from Toronto to Vancouver, so we decided to let the furniture go ahead without us while we treated ourselves to Christmas at a ski resort. Oh, God. The one time she tried to reach me.
Well, she came down on Christmas Eve, bit the worse for wear, but she cheered up during the evening, and then when I took breakfast up to her the next morning, she was gone.
Where did she go?
I never found out. I was not happy, I can tell you. I turned down an invitation myself in order to provide a Christmas for her, and as it was, I was left with too much food and just the telly for company.
I'm so sorry.
So let's keep this thing in perspective. Suzanne wasn't always the victim. She did what was best for Suzanne a lot of the time. Well, now, I won't offer you another of those as you're driving, but let's have some lunch. I don't think you need another drink.
Come on, Janie. It's the season of goodwill. Where's the Christmas spirit?
About a bottle of it sloshing around your liver, I should imagine.
Janie. Does anybody think you were my mother? Or my bloody father?
Fruit juice or coffee?
Oh, my wicked stepmother.
I thought you hardly knew her.
I didn't want to. I hated her.
She took my daddy away.
Oh, right. You were young then.
I was. And I was a little bitch to her. She didn't deserve it. Stephen says she's very nice. Dad was furious. That's how I lost him.
You didn't lose him, Susie.
Well, he hasn't exactly put himself out to see me, has he?
I'm sure they'd both be delighted if you got in touch.
I tried, remember?
It is Christmas. People go away.
He was always away. Why can't people be there when you need them?
No, I must start looking for Laszlo.
You'll be lucky. He'll have put up the shutters as soon as he hears an irate father's after his ghoulies. Probably doesn't go into the office much. You'll never get him at home, even if you knew where home was.
So what do I do?
Well, I've got a chum on the mail diary. I'll find out what's on that they'd be likely to cover and hope Laszlo will be going too. Well, of course, you could send a minion.
Oh, it's worth a try. I've got to get on with this. The inquest's Monday. It's Thursday now, so that then it'll be really leaves tomorrow to get hold of anybody.
Leonard, do you think there's something suspicious about Suzanne's death? Like, criminal?
Do you?
I would probably think not.
Why?
She never seemed scared of anything or anybody. Driven, unhappy, yes, but I never sensed any fear. I think I would have picked that up.
All right. Maybe no one else was to blame. But I have to know.
So that you can feel you didn't ultimately let her down.
More psychobabble.
I'm sorry.
No, come on. What about me? What are my motives?
Oh, you're expressing a mixture of ego and machismo. I am the knight in shining armor, the only man who can get to the truth. Come to my daughter's aid. Suppressing your female, caring side, preferring the masculine action man bit.
If I didn't suppress that side, I would be a quivering jelly.
Which would be much more healthy.
But wouldn't change the fact that I'm determined to get to the bottom of this and I don't have much time. I'll get the lunch if you get on the phone.
Done. The tin opener's in the top left-hand drawer.
Martin, 257. Any messages?
Just the one, sir. And a letter.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome, sir.
Paul Graham. Oh, Paul.
Mr. Martin?
Gail.
I overheard you telling someone where you were staying. I hope you don't mind.
Oh, of course not. Let's sit down. Would you like a drink?
No, thanks. I've got to get home. I thought you ought to know that Jake wasn't completely honest with you today. I heard him say he hadn't seen Suzanne for some time. Well, he did. He took her on a press junket last month.
Where to?
The Bahamas. It was the inauguration of a luxury flight from London, staying overnight and flying back the following day.
She wasn't working for him then, was she?
Not on contract, no, but he swung it because he said she needed cheering up.
Perhaps she did.
Jake doesn't do anything for unselfish motives.
Just a minute. Would this have been around the 11th of March?
Yes.
Do you know if there'd been any other trips he took her on?
Not as far as I know. There could have been. He uses the old trick of booking club for himself, then swapping the ticket for two in economy.
You seem to know a lot about this.
I should do. I've had to cover up for him often enough.
He's lucky to have you.
He won't much longer. I'm working out my notice now.
I'm sorry.
Don't be. I've got a good job lined up. Working for a woman this time, so no danger of being shat upon.
It's no guarantee, but good luck.
Thanks. Same to you.
It was right there in her passport. Bahamas immigration, 11th of March, 93. And the J in her diary stood for Jake, the lying bastard.
Perhaps he did think she needed cheering up.
She did. She would have done.
Because she was out of work?
Partly. But there was something I didn't tell you. Suzanne had an abortion.
When?
Sometime in the last few months.
Poor kid.
That would have been my grandchild. Not likely to be another.
Oh, darling. Did you get hold of Stephen yet?
There was a message from Paul.
And?
I haven't rung back.
Do it.
I'm going to.
Before you go to bed.
That gives me plenty of time.
How?
I'm going out clubbing.
What? I could never drag you out to one.
There's a gala opening at a place where the beautiful people are likely to be.
So who invited you?
Janie fixed it for me. Mr. Laszlo never misses this sort of glitzy bash, apparently.
Leonard, take it easy.
I think he's got a lot to answer for.
Then give him a chance to. Don't make any trouble. Or Mr. Reinhardt will be getting himself a new editor.
I've got to get to the bottom of this.
You're in danger of becoming obsessive.
Why not? My only daughter has had an abortion, taken coke, and drowned. Don't you feel there are some questions to be answered?
If it means you'll come home sooner, yes.
Is that all? You want hubby home, so to hell with everything else.
How dare you? I have lived with the ghost of a woman I can't compete with for 12 years. Now do I have to live with two?
What are you talking about?
Your guilt that you couldn't prevent your first wife from killing herself was bad enough. Now you seem to consider yourself responsible for your daughter doing the same thing.
There's no proof Suzanne committed suicide.
Even if she didn't, you'll think you should have saved her. Who do you think you are? God?
Marion! As you said you'd be in all the evening, I thought it would be okay to call round.
Of course. Come in.
I needed some fresh air.
I'll turn this off.
No, not for me. She's one of my favorites.
Sit down. Can I get you something?
Do you have any scotch?
Sure. Water, no ice.
How did you guess that?
That's the way Stephen takes it. He copies you in whatever way he can. Hadn't you noticed?
I suppose I wouldn't.
He'll be back late on Saturday.
From where?
Belgium and Luxembourg.
Has he given up long haul?
No, he's not with the airlines anymore. He works for a corporate travel company, making deals with hotels and airlines throughout the EC.
I suppose there's a better future in that.
Well, he's not away so much. That was the idea. He only goes on a trip like this a couple of times a year.
And you?
I'm still teaching. The only business travel I get to do is field trips. I've just come back from one.
I see.
Is there something I can do for you?
I have some bad news for Stephen. I wanted to sound you out on it first.
Could this be what the police were phoning about?
You didn't ring them back?
Well, the message was for Stephen.
So was mine.
Well, that was different. At least I thought it was.
His sister. My daughter, Suzanne.
I know Suzanne.
She's dead.
When?
About 10 days ago. But she was only found last weekend.
Found?
She drowned.
How awful. I'm sorry.
Did you know her well?
No, not really. She and Stephen didn't see much of each other. To be honest, they didn't really get on very well. But he wouldn't have wanted anything to have happened to her. It'd be a hell of a shock.
Do you think the news would come better from you?
He'd want you to tell him, I'm sure, or he's likely to feel...
Yes?
That you're avoiding him.
I still plan to talk to him. It was just the initial shock. As you seem to be so much closer to him.
That wouldn't be difficult.
What?
Do you realize how Stephen felt after Toronto? I can understand that it was somewhat traumatic for you to be suddenly confronted with your son's lover, but he insisted that I come. He needed my support. He wanted to tell you that he was gay and that he was happy to be. You virtually ordered him out of your house.
I felt he was rubbing my nose in it.
In what?
Oh, I'm sorry. It was just such a shock.
You never even suspected?
Why should I?
His mother did.
He was only 13 when she died.
Apparently they were very close.
I spent a lot of time away from home.
And when you were home, you spent most of it with Suzanne or your wife.
You seem to know a lot about my family life.
I love Stephen. We've been together a long time.
He wasn't interested in any of the things I was. The sort of things a man shares with his son. We had so little in common at times I could hardly believe it was mine.
Because you're a macho man who couldn't have produced a homosexual son.
I think I'd better be going. Get Stephen to ring me, will you?
He went through years of agony because he wanted to be like you and couldn't. All he wanted was your approval. He was in a terrible state when you froze him out.
I just needed time.
So has he. A little of yours. Give him some now, please. He'll need it.
It's only about 3 feet, boy.
I know.
Stephen
Fred, Stephen.
No, I'm not. Well, go back a few yards. Pace it if you want to, like when you're bowling in cricket.
All right.
Well, get on with it.
Stephen the Fred,
Stephen the Fred.
Shut up!
Don't talk to your sister like that.
Why can't I use a stepping stone, like she did?
Because you're not a girl. Oh, then perhaps you are. All right. Use the stepping stones. Come on, Sue.
He's fallen into the water.
I did it, Dad. Dad.
Useless. You're bloody useless.
Champagne, sir.
Have you got a scotch?
Certainly, sir.
Thank you.
Got everything you want?
Not yet.
I'm sure you will. Who are you with?
Mail.
Oh, your contingents are over there.
I'm trying to avoid them.
Okay.
Have you seen Michael Laszlo around?
He was here a minute ago. There he is, in the far corner, pressing himself up against that girl from the new soap.
Thanks. I'd better not disturb him.
Oh, if you need anything, introduction. Oh,
yeah, I'll give you a shove. Excuse me.
Ready for another, sir.
Hey, oh, thanks. Look, could you do me a favor? You see the tall, dark guy over there?
The one chatting up Sarah Bernhardt.
That's the one. Could you give him a message for me?
Well, I've got to get this tray refilled.
Won't take you a minute.
You're right.
Will you tell him there's a phone call for him at the booth in the hallway?
There won't be any trouble, will there?
No. I'm doing him a favor, rescuing him from her, wouldn't you say?
I would. But I don't know if he would.
He's sort of pebble, though,
sir. You see, you need to be seen around in the sort of places where the movie people meet. Cannes would be ideal for you.
Excuse me, sir. You're wanted on the phone.
Where?
In the booth, through the doorway, sir.
Don't go away.
Oh, no, sorry, madam.
Laszlo, hello.
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 There's no one there.
I was told there was a call for me.
I made it.
And you are?
Leonard Martin.
Yes.
Suzanne's father.
Really?
Can we talk?
About what?
Outside.
I don't think so.
Oh, would you rather I made a scene in here?
All right. So, what do you want to talk about?
Suzanne's death.
What?
You didn't know?
Who would have told me?
I could think of at least two.
We hadn't been seeing each other lately.
But you did spend a lot of time together.
We had some fun, yes.
What happened? Why did she stop being fun?
It was never serious.
I'm told she thought it was.
Women always do, after a while. Look, she had a good time. I took her to nice places, introduced her to interesting people.
Like those inside?
They're hardly your generation now, are they?
Oh, yours come to that.
Down there. It's nice and quiet.
That press junket to the Bahamas. Did you go on that?
I didn't take Suzanne.
She was procured for you by our friend Jake, and I spent time with him yesterday. But who didn't tell you about Suzanne?
Mr. Martin, what is it you want from me? I wasn't enjoying myself back there. You know, I'm working.
I noticed. In my daughter's body and in her handbag were found traces of a certain white powder. Tell me, were interesting people the only things you introduced Suzanne to?
Oh, don't lay that on me.
We're not far from West End Central Police Station. Would you like me to suggest they call into the club and do a search?
I'm clean.
Can you vouch for your friends? Her body was found on a beach in Dorset. Can you think of any reason why she would have gone there?
How would I know?
Did you ever take her in that direction?
I wait for the county set to come to me.
Don't be a smart ass, Laszlo. You've got too much to lose.
Your daughter did not want to be taken to the sticks, Martin. She only enjoyed the superficial.
That makes sense.
You'll probably find out there were far worse influences on Suzanne than I.
Like whom?
You'll have to wait and see.
If you know anything...
I didn't deflower your virginal daughter, if that's what you're thinking, Martin. She'd been around and carried on spinning after she left me. At least I gave her a good time in return.
Is that all?
She became a liability, always making scenes, ringing at all hours of the night, turning up outside my flat, screaming up at the window.
Why?
Why? Because she was a flake. She lived in a fantasy world. She made up scenarios to make herself sound important.
Then how come you put up with her for so long?
Because she was a great lay. She'd do anything to please. And I mean anything.
Bastard.
Then take my word for it, Martin. Ask anyone.
Sorry, Marion.
I feel terrible.
You feel wonderful.
Let me get up.
No chance.
You're hurting me.
It won't hurt if you relax.
No.
I know what you need.
I need some fresh air. Please, Michael. No.
Now you.
No.
Take it. Take it.
Good morning.
Hi.
I was apologizing to you a few hours ago.
Are you drunk?
No, but I've got bruised knuckles.
Oh, no.
You should see the other guy.
Who was it?
Some shit who used Suzanne for his own ends.
Was he the one who got her pregnant?
No idea. From what he said, it could have been any fertile male in Greater London.
Oh, darling.
Whether he was or not, it made me feel a hell of a lot better decking him.
I won't ask you to go clubbing with me anymore.
It was in the street, an alleyway.
Who do you think you are? Philip Marlowe?
I wish. I'm not getting very far. Apart from finding out more about what a rotten father I've been.
You talked to Stephen?
No. His flatmate.
His lover.
I'm hoping to see Stephen Sunday.
Good. I'm sorry for sounding off at you last night.
I just wish you'd told me how you felt before. I don't like the thought of your suffering in silence all these years.
It wasn't as heavy as that. Otherwise, why would I stay with you? Did Mac get hold of you?
I found a pile of faxes from him when I got in last night.
I'll have to work on them today.
I wish you'd come home soon.
After the funeral.
So who are you going to attack next?
Helena Richardson.
You shouldn't have any trouble decking her.
I've got a feeling she holds the missing piece of the jigsaw, and that she knows I'm looking for her. So, no more phone calls. I'm going around there later. Catch her when she gets home from work.
Hello?
Miss Richardson?
Who's this?
Leonard Martin, Suzanne's father.
I'm sorry, Miss Richardson's not here.
When will she be back?
She doesn't live here anymore.
Is that you, Helena? I need your help.
She's not here.
Do you know where she's gone?
Sorry.
Damn. Martin, 257. Any messages for me?
One moment, please. Yes, sir. Stephen rang at 5:15. He says he returned earlier than expected.
Thank you. Stephen, it's Dad.
I still can't take it in.
I'm glad Paul told you.
Have you found out anything?
Only about her lifestyle.
Ah.
It's hard to believe it's my daughter they're talking about.
The one who used to sit on your lap, you mean?
Did you know about all this?
I caught some of the flack. When she used to come round here stoned or drunk, crying about her lost loves.
That's a bit hard, isn't it?
It was hard to be on the receiving end of it. She'd turn up whenever she felt like it. We wouldn't see her for months, over a year once. And then she'd come to the door demanding sympathy and comfort, no matter who was here.
Couldn't you have helped her?
Like clearing up after she spewed up on the floor.
Oh. I'm sorry if she embarrassed you in front of your friends.
Just like I embarrassed you.
Are we getting nowhere?
Where were we supposed to be going?
I hoped you could help me find out why your sister died. I'll come to a halt. I don't know where to go next.
Would you have tried this hard if it had been me?
Of course I would.
Are you sure?
You're my son.
Despite everything?
I may not have been the perfect father, but...
You were the model of a father. I worshipped you. Unfortunately, I wasn't the model of a son.
You seem to have survived quite well.
I was lucky to find Paul. He managed to convince me that I was a worthwhile human being.
You shouldn't have needed convincing.
I did. Mum was the only one who had faith in me, and when she died, there was no one.
It was best for the two of you to go to boarding school. I spent so long away.
And when you were around, you never came to my sports days, because you knew I wouldn't do very well.
I didn't come because I was afraid you'd be upset if you didn't do well. You're always trying so hard to please me.
Why didn't you tell me that at the time?
Nobody teaches you how to be a parent, you know. It's one of the most important jobs in the world, yet you're flung into it with no training whatsoever.
I was a bit hard on Susie. She'd been having a rotten time. She wasn't such a good picker as me.
You don't happen to know where she'd been living recently, I suppose?
With someone called Helena, a flat in Notting Hill.
Ah, she left there. I can't get hold of the girl to ask where Suzanne went.
I've got a number.
So have I, but she won't talk to me. At least I'm 90% sure she's there.
Have you been round?
I found her address in the directory, but a woman's voice said she no longer lived there. I just had the feeling that it was her.
When was this?
Less than an hour ago.
Well, let's think. What day is it? Oh, I've lost track. Friday. Sometimes she and Susie used to go to Portobello Market Saturday mornings, then to their local to listen to a jazz band.
It's worth a try. Problem is, I don't know what she looks like.
I do. I met her once when I took Susie home.
Haven't you got things to do?
Paul's going to football. He's a QPR fan. I'd like to help. For Susie's sake.
Mm-hmm.
It's still quite early. Let's go to her flat. We might meet her on the way. Or if she's at home, she might speak to me.
Good idea.
Did Suzanne mention a man called Jake to you?
He was her boss, wasn't he?
Something more than that, as far as I can tell.
It was Laszlo she was always on about. How wonderful he was, or what a swine he was. The usual, as far as Susie was concerned.
He says he hadn't been out with her for some time. Anyone more recent you can think of?
I hadn't seen her lately.
Somebody took her down to Dorset.
Why should someone have taken her? She might have gone on her own, trying to recapture the idyllic childhood she used to go on about.
No tickets, no car keys.
They could have been washed away.
Yes.
Poor little Susie. I hate to think of her drowning, being battered about by the sea.
She wasn't a pretty sight.
I thought for some time she might come to a sad end. It was as if she was on self-destruct. She always went for the superficial bright lights, famous names, a good time. And, of course, the sort of people who went with all those things.
Yeah, I've met some of them.
At other times, she longed for a nice house, a husband and kids. She was like a seesaw. She didn't seem to know what she wanted.
Neither did I until I met Marion.
You were lucky to find her.
I think so.
I hope you tell her so. Here she comes.
Which one?
The redhead in the middle.
Can you imagine a gay lodger answering the phone for me? Frightened of trade forever.
Hello, Helena.
Hello.
Stephen Martin, Susie's brother.
Oh, yes, of course.
This is my father.
Miss Richardson.
Can we have a word?
I'm sorry, I'm just on my way.
A few minutes of your time.
All right. You go ahead, I won't be long.
Yeah, okay.
You'd better come back to the flat.
There's a blank period between the time she left the newspaper in January to the time she died.
She didn't move in here till late February.
But you were friends before that.
Not really close friends. We met when she came to a preview at the gallery where I work. She was good fun. Knew a lot of interesting people. Then a couple of months ago she rang asking if she could come round. She said she was looking for somewhere to stay and my flatmate was about to leave, so...
What went wrong at the Earl's Court flat?
The girl who had leased it was getting married. At least that's what Susie told me.
Do you think there might have been another reason?
I suspect she hadn't been able to pay her way. There was a pile of bills redirected to her, printed mostly in red. Came as a bit of a shock, I can tell you. I had no idea she was broke till then.
But surely she'd been earning good money at the Correspondent.
And she spent it as it came in.
You can say that again. She just got back from Gstaad. In February.
I seem to remember her flatmates were always sloping off there.
Well, they couldn't have afforded to go in high season unless they'd been working there as chalet maids. She was chasing a guy called Michael Laszlo.
I talked to him. He said their affair had been over long before that.
Might have been for him. She didn't want to let go. She was hoping he'd marry her.
Surely she was bright enough to realize he wasn't the marrying kind.
She was in love with him.
And pregnant with his child?
Oh, she never said whose it was.
What?
Sorry. I didn't get around to telling you that. The post-mortem picked it up. She had an abortion.
She wanted to have the baby, but she didn't feel she could manage on her own.
If only I'd known.
She didn't want you to feel she'd let you down.
She could have come to me.
She thought you'd say I'd told you so. And she always used to say about you, two's company. She said the same about you, Mr. Martin.
Poor little Susie.
Yes, it was a shame. I think she'd have been a good mother because she was marvellous with children. She used to babysit for my sister and her children adored her.
When did she have the abortion?
About a week after she moved in.
You didn't mind?
Well, why should I mind? It was her body, her decision.
I mean, coping with her afterwards.
She was all right at the beginning. She seemed to have recovered immediately. But then she became depressed and desperately lonely. On some day, she begged me not to go to work.
What happened to all her friends?
No, they didn't want to know. She started to bring all sorts here. People she met in the supermarket or the gardens. Well, I couldn't allow that. It's too dangerous. Daddy's flat anyway. He'd have been furious.
So, Susie was broke, depressed, lonely. In fact, no fun anymore. I can see why you would want rid of her.
I didn't turn her out. And I put up with her longer than a lot of people might. She was lying round here all day, and she never did anything in the way of housework or bought any stuff, not to mention the rent she owed.
Just tell me what she owed.
Don't you really have any clue at all where she might have gone?
If I had, I would have forwarded her mail.
Was there much?
A couple of bills, letters, mainly from the DSS.
Have you still got them?
They're somewhere.
Paul wondered if she was on something because of her mood swings. I was hoping she wasn't.
There was evidence of cocaine in her body and her handbag.
Is there anything else you haven't hit me with?
I think this is all.
Not the big brown envelope?
Which?
Next shelf down. Oh, sorry, if it's yours.
I'll see. You're right. It is addressed to Susie. I can't remember seeing it before.
It's been opened.
Oh, not by me. She must have done that herself.
The Advertiser, box 303. Have a look at the others.
Lonely Hearts replies.
Did she go in for this sort of thing?
Not that she told me.
God knows who she might have met through this. Perhaps we can check on any letters that were forwarded to her earlier.
No chance. The newspaper simply forwards them to the box number. They don't vet them. If they did, they go out of business. Surely you must know how these columns work.
The papers I've worked on haven't gone in for this sort of stuff, and I certainly haven't.
Perhaps you haven't been desperate.
If you don't mind, I really must go now. I'm late already.
Of course, it was good of you to be so helpful.
Least I could do.
Maybe take these.
Why not? They don't belong to me.
I forgot to ask her what rent was owing.
I shouldn't bother.
There's no reason she should suffer.
That lady is not the suffering kind.
What are you saying?
I don't think she told us the truth. Not the whole truth.
About what?
Anything.
It was all your idea. I didn't mean you to bring them here. God knows what we could end up with. So what do you do? Arrange to meet them somewhere for a drink. Then, if I fancy them, they have to find a place.
Well, isn't that risky, too?
The risk's part of the fun, dummy. But the trick is to cut down the repercussions. The very last thing you do is let them know where you live.
But if you get to like them a lot...
You don't get to like anyone who needs to answer these sorts of ads.
They might think the same about the women who place them.
Listen, the sort of men who reply are either dogs who no woman would look at normally, or they're in it for sex. Like us.
Like you. I've had enough to last my life.
Come on, don't tell me you're looking for love.
What's wrong with that?
That just happens. With the right type. You can't advertise for it, but you can advertise for some fun, a few drinks, the occasional good screw with no strings. Just don't do it in my backyard. Okay.
The dates on those bills were quite recent, so maybe Susie didn't move out after all. I bet we'd find stuff belonging to her if we could take a look around.
Not now, we wouldn't. Anyway, there's nothing we can do. We'd need a search warrant.
There are a couple of faxes here for you.
I'll take a look at them later. I want to phone the police back first. Help yourself to a drink if you want one.
Thanks.
D.S. Luscombe, please. Yes? When? Well, that's great news. I'll come down. Yes. Okay. Goodbye. Someone's come forward claiming to have been down there and daughtered with Suzanne.
Have they arrested him?
They think he's innocent.
Well, perhaps he is.
Well, whether he is or not, he can provide answers to a few questions.
Are you going down there now?
There's no point. Apparently he's in a bit of a state. They sent him home for a good night's sleep. I'll drive down in the morning.
Can I come?
Of course. I'd welcome the company. But I'll probably stay down till after the inquest.
Well, that's okay. I'm due a couple of days.
Good.
What are your plans for this evening?
Probably get something sent up, watch a video.
You'd be welcome to eat with us.
No, thanks. I want an early night.
All right.
Some other time I'd like to, but this is all starting to get to me. I feel that.
I don't know, drained. I'm exhausted. Crazy, isn't it?
No. That always happens when you start using a muscle that's been lying dormant for some time.
Hey.
The emotional one.
Just because I don't show my feelings doesn't mean I don't have any.
So how are people supposed to know you love them?
There are ways.
You showed us when we were little. You were always tumbling around with us, cuddling us. Then it all stopped.
You were growing up.
We still needed that contact. I realize you thought it would be sissy to hold me because I was a boy.
That's right.
But why not Susie?
She was turning into a woman.
Is that what worried you?
What do you mean?
Were you afraid to touch her in case she felt like a woman to you?
Oh, for Christ's sake, Stephen.
She used to get upset saying you didn't love her anymore. I remember her crying because you wouldn't let her sit on your knee.
Oh.
I told her it was because she was growing up. She was about 13 then.
She was such an affectionate kid.
It's all right, Dad. It wasn't your fault.
People keep saying that. I wish I could believe it. Do you remember much of this?
Of course. This was the way to that ice cream place you used to take us to.
Who'd have thought then, eh? Well, here we are.
Turned up here yesterday afternoon. Apparently he hadn't been down since he and Suzanne were here and hadn't known about the drowning. He saw an old poster with her photograph on it.
And you don't think he was involved?
He was there at the time, but I don't think he had any hand in it.
But he didn't prevent it.
Well, here's his statement. Copy for you, sir. Judge for yourselves.
I was transferred by the bank up to London just after Christmas. I didn't know anybody there, and the only girls I met were the ones at work. So after a while, I put this advertisement in a newspaper.
Susie rang me up, and we arranged to meet in a pub in the West End. We got on really well. I was surprised. She was gorgeous. I couldn't understand why she would have to look at the Lonely Hearts pages, or why she should be interested in me. She asked me about my accent, and when I told her I was from Dunscombe, she suggested we came down for the weekend. She said she used to come here when she was a little girl. When I picked her up on the Saturday morning
outside Notting Hill Gate tube station, I thought she was a bit dressed up for a trip to the seaside. And when we were driving through Surrey, she suddenly said she knew some people we could call in on, and she directed me to this sort of mansion. It was all on its own, not in a village. I don't know its name or where it was exactly. There was a champagne fountain.
A lot of people, including pop stars, girls who looked like models, and a couple of footballers. Susie seemed to know quite a few of them. She went on
for a while with a man. He was tall, dark, in his 40s, with a foreign accent. When she came back, she seemed really happy. We picked up a couple of bottles of champagne and left, and carried on down to Dunscombe.
We drank one of the bottles sitting in the car. Then we went down to the beach.
It's glorious. Exactly how I remember it. Like coming home. I love it.
You wouldn't if you lived here. It's boring, especially in the winter.
No dirt, no noise, no nasty people.
No fun. I have some more of this.
Don't need it. Just look at that sunset. Isn't it beautiful? Daddy used to bring me out to watch the sunset. He'd carry me down to the beach, and we'd stay there until the last trace of colour had gone out of the sky. Just the two of us.
Hey, where are you going?
Those rocks are in the way. I'm going further down so I can see it better. So beautiful. It's all so beautiful. I want to stay here forever.
I finished off the bottle, and I don't remember any more after that till I woke up in the car the following morning. I couldn't find Susie anywhere, so I drove back to London. I had no reason to think she'd come to any harm. She seemed perfectly happy, and she knew her way around the place. I thought she'd make her own way back.
Well, what do you think? Would you agree there wouldn't appear to be any suspicious circumstances?
Who knows?
Suzanne showed no signs of violence, and the boy's got a clean sheet. Comes from a very respectable family. Did you find out anything useful in London?
Nothing I could prove. So, you believe the boy?
I did.
That's good enough for me.
Well, in that case, I'll submit my report to the coroner tomorrow, and there'll likely be a verdict of death by misadventure.
Appropriately enough.
What about the funeral arrangements?
I took the liberty of contacting a local undertaker, and presuming the verdict is as we expect, he can arrange a cremation within 24 hours. This is his card.
That was thoughtful of you. Thanks.
See you in court tomorrow, then.
You know something. He never once said the remains or the body. From the very start, he called her by her name. Suzanne.
What did you make of the perfectly happy bit?
I suspect Laszlo gave her something at the party to make her that way.
Nevertheless,
happy people don't commit suicide. Those drifting in an unreal world do. It's Sunday, 1800 hours, and I'm speaking from a B&B in Dorset. You'll be at morning mass, I guess. I'll be on a flight late Tuesday or first thing Wednesday. I'll ring you from London when I know for sure. There's been a development. Looks like it could have been an accident after all. I'll tell you all about it. But I must go because I'm about to take a walk with my son before dinner. I love you.
It's nice like this. Quiet.
Best time to be beside the seaside. Out of season.
I remember it as noisy, busy.
But you enjoyed it, didn't you?
Oh, yes. Particularly when Mum took out the cloth and opened the picnic basket. You remember, she'd always keep the food a surprise.
Happy days.
I still miss her.
So do I. Just as well she isn't here to see what happened to Suzanne. But then, if she was here, it would probably never...
You can't say that.
She would have been someone for Suzanne to turn to.
But would she have?
I think this is where we should sprinkle her ashes.
Was this where she was found?
No. It's where you and I used to build her sandcastles.
Shall we pour the water in the moat now, Dad?
We need to build up the sides first, in case the tide comes up.
I want to put the water in.
No, not yet.
I want to. Dad says no.
You stand in the middle, Suze. It's your castle. You're the fairy princess.
I'm the fairy princess, and you're my knight in shining armor.
Hooray!
In Ripples by Maggie Allen, Kenneth Haig played the role of Leonard Martin. Mary Wimbush was Janie Southern, and Albert Welling, D.S. Luscombe. Victoria Carling was Suzanne Martin, and Jessica Hodson was Suzanne as a child. Nick Dunning was Stephen Martin, and Sam Crane was Stephen as a child. Crispin Letts was Paul, Gareth Armstrong, Jake, and James Telfer, Michael Laszlo. Claire Nielsen was Marion Martin, Lucy Aston, Helena, Vivian Rochester, Gail, and Marion Morley, Mrs. Proudfoot. Theresa Gallagher was Claire, and Michael Onslow, Terry. The director was Ned Shyer.